Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. Today, we're going to be talking to a doctor in private practice, who has found a new niche for his practice. And it's very interesting what he's doing. And I kind of understand this. I happen to be the son of a doctor who was in private practice, and that goes back many years. Obviously, my dad was a doctor in a small town in Maryland, and he made house calls. He had office hours in the morning and in the evening, and the closest hospital was 30 miles away, and he often had to travel to the hospital if one of his patients was about to deliver a baby or had some serious issue other than that. So I know what a doctor in a private practice is like. Now, our guest is Dr. Chudi Obulu. He's based in Easton, Pennsylvania. And after almost a decade of enduring the challenges of private practice, including pre-authorization hassles, insurance complications, and the overhead costs, he has now discovered a niche solution that has significantly enhanced the quality of care for the geriatric population. He is now serving as a medical director and attending physician at a local nursing facility, and he is very happy with the percentages, offering 60% skilled nursing and 40% long-term care. Now, this is really interesting. His transition from private practice to a nursing home setting has been transformative, as he puts it. On the skilled nursing side, there's a high patient turnover, which brings in diverse cases and keeps the work environment dynamic. Conversely, the long-term care side allows him to build lasting relationships with his patients akin to his experience in private practice. And the dual approach ensures that his patients receive comprehensive, individualized care. And as he puts it, compared to private practice, the facility provides him office space, gives him staff, medication, and testing. He also reduces his practice overhead and in addition to making his revenue much more predictable. So it's a huge benefit for him. So we're going to talk to him now about this big change in his practice and whether other doctors may be considering doing the same kind of thing. So let's welcome him to our microphones now, Dr. Chudi Obulu. He's in, again, Easton, Pennsylvania. Dr. Obulu, take a moment to say hi to us, and thanks for being here to help us out. This is a great story you have to tell. Tell me about it. How did this begin for you, doctor?
Well, as I said, it's been quite a while and a journey in the sense that previously I was in private practice, and it was a unique area in the Pennsylvania neighborhood. We call it the Boondies, you know, very remote area. So I was in practice with them, these doctors. And unfortunately, my patient population is the less privileged, as we call them, so mostly Medicaid patients, meaning we don't get that much of a reimbursement, in addition to the fact that they also, regardless of the prescriptions you write, they can't even afford it. So it was very, very frustrating, but rewarding at the same time. So within that period of time, I had a transition period where I was doing both nursing home practice and office practice. I was able to see the comparison and saw the advantages of switching directly or completely to nursing home practice.
Well, you know, I know you were in private practice in internal medicine with a partner for over 10 years. As so many doctors are all across the country, obviously, I would assume you enjoyed that private practice, right? What was the aspect of that you most enjoyed? How would you answer that?
I'll start by saying the relationship I had with the patients. It was very unique and very rewarding. And I'll give you three examples. One evening, I was just getting off work and I was heading home, and I got a call from my daughter. He says, Dad, the weather in the Poconos is going to be horrible. We're expecting storms and everything else. So I said, okay, I'm going to stop by the nearest Walmart by my office to pick up some propane tanks for my lamps at home. You can imagine the Walmart was full. The line I was on, I think I would have been the number 15th on the line to the cashier. And all I heard was a patient, or someone, obviously was a patient of mine. Oh, that's my dog. You need to bring him on forward because it's too busy and now he can't stay on the line. Two others did the same thing. Before I knew it, I was on the front of the line. I paid. I looked back. Obviously, I was so teary. I couldn't see anybody. I thanked them and I went home. That kind of relationship. The second is, I was at home. I was at work too. Just started about 9 a.m. Around 11 o'clock in the morning, my nurse came to me and said, "Dr. O," that's what they call me, "I have a walk-in, and she doesn't want to see anybody else but you." Normally, walk-ins are people that have acute illness, runny nose, fever, chills, and all this stuff. I said, "Oh," but she said, "but you're booked. You're fully booked. You don't have any space." I said, "Okay, what about my lunchtime?" So, okay, she'll squeeze her into my lunchtime. I said, "Fine." So during lunch, I was sitting down in my office, the office space just on the hallway, and I saw these two elder couple heading to one of the rooms, the examination room. The husband could barely walk, you know. He was just limping and limping and limping, and finally I got into the room. "Now, Mrs. James, what brings you in today?" And she was mumbling. I couldn't get what she was saying. But it looks like she was nudging the husband. I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Oh, my husband can't walk. He has a very bad foot." So I looked at the foot, and the toe was angry looking. It was so ugly. I felt so sad. I said, "What happened?" He said, "I went to see my doctor 2 weeks ago. He prescribed some medications for me. I couldn't afford it." And I looked at it and remind now, this is what they call a 4th of July weekend. So obviously this gentleman has done some indulgence, a little bit of alcohol, dehydration, and excess red meat. So obviously that is gout in the making. But then the gentleman, the so-called physician, his physician, because she's my patient, he's not, has given them prescription for Celebrex or something, and they couldn't afford it. I said, "Okay, you know, Colchicine is pennies in Walmart. Go get some Colchicine." I said, "Normally in medical school, they tell you to take Colchicine until you get diarrhea. But for an 80-year-old gentleman, he might end up with a hip fracture running to the bathroom." So I said, "Just take it 4 times a day for the next 2 days and let me know how you feel." And was very grateful. I think 3 days later, the daughter called me to thank me for what I did. So that kind of relationship are the things that I enjoyed in private practice.
Well, I totally understand that, and I understand why you felt that way. Let me ask you a question. In your private practice, did you often make calls to nursing homes or the nursing home where you are right now? Was that part of your practice or not necessarily?
No, it was separate. It was separate. What happened was that prior to joining the practice, I was with a hospital system that had office practice also. So they employed 2 physicians to run this place that was bought from a retired physician. Unfortunately, the office could not afford the 2 physicians' salaries. So one of the managers told me, "Look, Dr. O, there's a nursing home that is available. You could go see patients and then probably bring in some extra income." That's how I got introduced to nursing home. So when I joined the practice, I had that as part of my portfolio.
Your practice. Okay. I was going to ask you about the complications and the challenges of being a doctor in private practice. It often comes down to the fact that doctors have to do things that they weren't trained for in medical school. They have to worry about paying bills, paying patients, the insurance, all the insurance aspect of it. This is the kind of stuff they don't teach in medical school, do they? So you have to either hire people to be on your staff to do that. You know, there are complications, aren't there? It's difficult in many ways, right?
Definitely. And that is there goes the disadvantage. And that was how I shifted from office practice to nursing home practice, as I call it. It's an office without the overhead. Okay? As I said, one of the most grueling or demanding aspects of private practice is office space. You're going to pay for that. You're going to pay for your staff. You're going to pay for nursing. So by the time you're done, you barely have anything left to take home to. And then remember the pressures of the society that you're a physician, so you're expected to have money. And unfortunately, you're walking around broke and nobody knows about it, you know?
Yeah. I totally understand that, and it is one of the things that doctors apparently have to do a lot, and they aren't ready for that. They haven't been trained for that when they open their private practice. It's interesting. I talk to a lot of doctors now who are hospitalists, and they work in hospitals, and I asked one the other day that I met, I asked him if he was looking forward to opening a private practice. He said, no, I'm going to stay right here in the hospital situation. You know, he's paid by the hospital, which that's a whole different ball game. But let me ask you where the thought began to move your practice into a nursing home. As you said, you know, it's great. You don't have the overhead that you did before, which obviously they're great pluses for you. But how did that thought begin? When did it begin? Explain to me how that came about.
So when I was doing both, when I was doing both the nursing home and the office, I was able to have a very good comparison of the pros and cons, the benefit of one over the other. One thing that caught my attention was the fact that in the nursing home facilities, 90% of your patients are above 65 years old. So they're all Medicare.
Right.
Okay? So the fact that they're Medicare, you have a very good prediction of how your, as I said, your revenue is going to come into. Then the patient compliance, medication compliance, which happens to be one big problem we face in private practice. The patient comes in, you give them blood pressure medicine, they come in the next week, the blood pressure is higher than they came in the first time. And you're wondering, what happened? Obviously, they could not afford the medication. So that frustration in private practice overall drove me into nursing home practice because there everything is available. They can afford it. But that was one of them. The other thing is the fact that the patients are there. You know, quite unlike private practice where it's very difficult to predict what your flow is going to be on an everyday basis. In the nursing home, you have the long-term care patients and the short-term care patients. The short-term care patient is a lady who fell, fractured a hip, got fixed, came into the nursing home for rehabilitation. You manage the medical aspect. You make sure that blood pressure is okay, diabetes is fine while they recuperate. Or somebody with a stroke who could not walk or has a right-sided weakness. You manage them, secondary prevention, and then take care of them. They get well, they go home. The other ones are the long-term care patients who live there, who are going to be there for years and years to come, and they become a family of yours, just like private practice. So these positives in the nursing home facility made me decide that I think I'll get more by practicing nursing home medicine than office practice.
Well, you really get to know the patients this time and in this kind of a situation that I guess you weren't able to in private practice where you didn't see these patients almost every day. You see them almost on a daily basis, don't you? I'm sure you make rounds at the nursing home, correct?
Yeah, I make rounds. And just for the record also, I practice hospital medicine also. So I have a 7-day, I have a very busy schedule. I have a 12-hour shift 7 days on, then I'm off 7 days. So during my periods in my 7 days off, I see them every day. On my 7 days off, I see them after I'm done with work. So yeah, definitely I see them. But I think Medicare requires you to see them a minimum of once a month for the long-term care patients. And for the short-term technician, I think it just depends. Maybe 3 times within their visit, within their stay, which is usually maximum of 2 weeks.
Wow. That's very interesting. You are a busy doctor, then. You're a hospitalist, too, and you work in the hospital. Seven days on and 7 days off. So tell me, what is a typical schedule for you? What time of day do you have to show up at the hospital?
I'm a morning person, so by 3:30 I'm already up. You know,
3:30?
Exercise. Yeah, 3:30 every morning. But I go to bed once I get home, though, most times. So 3:30 I'm up, get ready. I'll be at the hospital by 7 o'clock in the morning to 7 p.m. Then I leave the hospital from 7 p.m. Then I go do rounds at the nursing home. But usually at that time, I just see the acute patients, anybody with immediate needs. You know, blood pressure is not doing well. The sugar is running high and all this stuff. That's what I do during that week.
Right.
But on my week off, which is this week that I'm off completely, then I go around now. I see patients. I see new patients. I see discharges. I see follow-ups. So that's how I do it.
Well, that sounds very interesting. No question. How are you liking this situation? How long is it, this, you know, how long the setup been going on for you? How long have you been doing it?
At least 12 years or more than that. I would say 15 years, if I'm not mistaken.
You mean you've been at the nursing home 15 years? That long?
That's kind of new,
isn't it? Pardon?
No, it's been going on. The thing about nursing home was prior to now, they used to be just chronic patients. But
right.
With the new approach, the pressures from the hospital system, they're forcing patients out earlier than usual.
Right.
So these people are coming to the nursing homes more complicated and sicker, you know, more ill appearing than usual. So you now end up with people that have specialties in internal medicine to be able to manage these patients while they are recuperating in the hospital, in the nursing homes. So that brought the need now to have physicians on staff in the nursing home. In those days, you hardly see a doctor in the nursing home, maybe once a month, once every 2 weeks. But now you can't afford to do that because these are sick patients that need immediate attention or close monitoring.
Well, that I understand. I was asking you, you know, I thought the your transition to becoming the medical director and the attending physician at the local nursing center was a relatively new thing for you. Am I correct about that?
Maybe it's about 10 years.
It's 10 years.
I've been a medical director for at least 10 years. But prior to that, I was just an attending physician, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's interesting to know. I've had the wrong understanding. Let me ask you a question. Have you talked to other doctors who have considered doing the same kind of thing that you're doing now, becoming full-time at a nursing home center? What do you think?
Yeah, funny enough, a lot of doctors, especially those who are now in hospital medicine, are beginning to rethink it. Because when you're in hospital medicine, when you're off 1 week, what do you really do? Most times you end up doing extra shifts at the hospital or get a job somewhere else. But you have to be very organized. You have to manage your time very, very well to be able to do it. And another thing is the malpractice. That's what the killer is. For you to have a practice, you should be able to have more than what you're paying. Malpractice is about $15,000 a year. Management and all the other stuff. So whatever, if you decide to go into nursing home practice, you should be able to make sure that at least you're able to pay your expenses and have money to keep in your pocket. Otherwise, it's not feasible. A lot of big companies have tried it, but I don't know why not. But I think some of like I just don't want to speak out because I'm on radio. My medical director is now considering. My medical director in the hospital program is now going into SNF too. So, and then I know two doctors who were just talking to me about going to SNF that is across the hospital from where we work. So, yeah, they're looking into it because it's lucrative and it's helpful if you can manage it. It's very demanding, that's the truth.
Well, it makes sense. I totally understand what you're talking about. Do me a favor. I'm interested in your background. Your name is quite unique. Tell me, when did you begin your private practice? Was it here in the United States or somewhere else? Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. I went to medical school in Morehouse in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I did my master's in public health, and that was why when you were talking about the money of medicine that they don't teach us in medical school, I was able to get a glimpse of that when I did my master's in public health at Emory University, Atlanta, too.
Great school, yeah.
Then I left. Most of my friends were in the East Coast, so they really didn't like the fact that I was in the South. So they pressured me to come down up here to do my residency. So I did my residency in Greenwich, Connecticut, a Yale program, Greenwich Hospital, which is a Yale program. So I did my 3 years of training in internal medicine. Then I ventured into, I think I finished, I finished medical school in 1999 plus 3 years, 2002. So I started practicing. Since then, I've been in practice.
Well, that's quite a story. Good for you. Do you like Pennsylvania? Love to get the area up there. I mean, you've been to some great areas. I mean, school in Atlanta and then going to Greenwich, Connecticut. That's pretty great. That's good. Great hospital up there. And now in eastern Pennsylvania, it's really nice. It's great for family. I mean, I assume you have a family. Am I right? Am I wrong? Tell me.
Yes. No, you're right. I have three kids. The oldest one just graduated from USC, got a job now at FDA in Maryland. I'm very proud of her. I have a son who's doing chemical engineering at Penn State. Then I have a younger one who's yet to go into college. Yeah. So, yes, it was a good school. And me, also, as an upbringing, as a kid, we never lived in the cities. We only lived in the suburbs. So I'm used to close to the city, enjoy the benefits of the city, and get out of Dodge, as I call it. I can only spend 3 days in New York, and then I get restless. So I go to Queens.
Well, I understand that, too.
3 days in Philadelphia, I get restless. So I'm not a city person, but I like to be close to the city so I can enjoy the benefits of the city without living there.
Do me a favor. Tell me some of the stories. You must have stories about unique situations you've encountered with patients in the nursing home situation, obviously in the hospital as well. I mean, when you were on duty in the hospital, is there a specific area of practice that you specialize in, or do you deal with anything that you come across in the hospital? How would you answer that?
In the hospital, we manage, so we practice. So it's the same thing in internal medicine, office practice, but this is office practice in the hospital. Like you said, your father used to run to the hospital to go deliver a baby. Now they have a hospitalist, OBGYN, who would deliver the baby. So your father was in private practice, and he had a patient who had a chest pain. He would go admit the patient in the hospital. He doesn't do that anymore. So that's what we do. So we admit the patients that are critically ill, we stabilize them, and then we send them back to their doctor. So I do the intense aspect of medicine in addition to, let me say, the laid back. So I've gone through the gradations of just a regular sniffy nose to heart attacks and strokes. So, yes, I cover all gamuts.
You cover a little bit of everything. So while they're in the hospital, they're your patients. And then release them from the hospital, they go back to their regular normal doctor, correct?
Yes, correct.
And what about in the nursing home? Obviously, nursing home patients typically have their own doctors, don't they? Or don't they? I'm really not sure.
It's similar to the hospital. When they're in the nursing home, they are yours. You manage them, and then when they're on discharge, what I normally do, I give you a 30-day prescription with no refill. First of all, I would encourage you to follow up with your doctor, because then I get called, doctor, refill. I said, no, I don't do refills. So that makes them go see their doctors. So you see them while they're in the nursing home. That's the short pay patients. Now, the long-term patients are your patients. They don't go anywhere. They're yours for life until, unfortunately, when they die. But the short stay patients, you see them just like the hospital. When you discharge them back to their doctors.
You know, you bring up a situation. I often have heard stories about terrible care for patients in nursing homes. Everybody has heard those stories. I would assume with a doctor on staff almost like you are, that you really are there to help prevent stories like that from happening. You know, patients in a bed where they don't get turned over by the help, you know, for hours or 6 or 8 hours, they stay in the same position. But I would assume you ride control over that and make sure that kind of thing doesn't happen in the nursing home situation. Would I be right?
Definitely. And with the fact that I'm the medical director, I also have an overreach. So I'm able to go beyond the fact that I'm just the attending physician to also initiate protocols. Protocols means that if somebody comes with them, let's just say a pressure ulcer, a skin that is blanching, there should be protocols to prevent you from this going to a stage one all start to 2 to 3. And the good thing about it is that Medicare is also becoming more, or the government is becoming more astute in penalizing nursing homes for those behaviors. So they are taking it seriously. So pressure ulcers, we call it dings, you know, things like that, falls are dings. So all those things that nursing homes used to, yeah, we still have the bad rap, we're still catching up. But things are getting much, much better. And as you said, because doctors never used to come to nursing homes, yeah, they really didn't have an idea what was going on and could not prevent some of these instances of patients.
I would think your presence would be a big plus for the nursing home. They're obviously very glad to have you there. Am I right? I'm sure I am.
Very,
right?
Very right. Yeah, no, you're very right. Yeah, and the thing about it is that because the way I practice, I sit in the living room, the recreational area, and that's where most of the patients are. So it's like I have a direct assessment. So if I come in tomorrow, I see grandma is not moving as much as she was moving, I suspect an infection or something is not right. If I see the one who screams all the time, all of a sudden is sleeping all day, then I suspect. So I'm able to have a gauge of their medical status just by being there because I've seen them. I know them too well, you know, to be able to tell the difference when I notice any change in their health status.
That's most interesting indeed. I was thinking about if a patient takes a wrong turn, their health really, you know, goes bad in the nursing home, you have the option to send them to the hospital. Does that ever happen much where a patient does have to go to the hospital for a period of time?
Oh, yeah. A lot of times. But, you know, the business aspect of medicine also comes to play. So you're judged by how many times you actually send a patient to the hospital. They call it rehospitalization. You know, how much time does your facility send patients back? Is it 20%, which is acceptable, or more than 20%? That's an indication that you're not also managing your patients very well, okay? But as I said, because the patients are coming out sicker and with more complications, you have to really know internal medicine to do a good job in hospital, in a nursing home now,
quite on
medicine and all this stuff, yeah.
In addition to you, do you have a staff of nurses who works with you? I'm sure you do, correct?
Oh, yeah,
In the nursing home.
That's advantage, yes, that's advantage. You have the supply of nurses, what they call it, nurse practitioners, nurse aides. You have all these ancillaries. It makes it easier for you to just stick to medicine and do it well.
Well, that's what every doctor really would love to be able to do. Stick to medicine and do it well and take care of your patients. I was going to ask if you had a great story about what happened in the COVID lockdown. Is there any story there?
I actually have a very interesting story. Very still by the
You know, you know what, doctor? I tell you what, you're coming back next week. I shouldn't have asked that question because we're slowly running out of time. I just want to point out that you're doing a great job where you are right now, and I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us. We'll explore a little more about your dual role of working in the hospitals and working in the nursing home almost at the same time. So it's an amazing career that you have going for you. So thanks for taking the time out to talk to us today, okay? Dr. Trudy Obulu, and he's in practice in Easton, Pennsylvania, and he's not only the medical director of a nursing home, he's also a hospital, as a doctor, you know, as a doctor in the hospital. So it's a very interesting life for you, doctor. Good luck to you, and thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you again next week, okay? Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. You are very welcome. It's been great to have you with us. This is a really interesting twist. There may be other doctors considering doing the same thing. Who knows? In any event, thank you so much, doctor, and we will welcome you back again soon. Next week, in fact. All right. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.